The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
Top four at four.
Hour number two of The Drive underway. The Nature Boy, Rick Butler, with your top four at four.
First and foremost, I'm a big fan of that nickname. All right, number one. According to Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network, Raiders general manager Mike Mayock and head coach John Gruden sent its scouting staff home, and that group is not expected to return to work by the time of its first round, the NFL draft that starts on Thursday night. Mind you, the Raiders have a gigantic draft coming up. In the first round, they have the number 4, 24, and 27 overall. And then the second round, they have the second, or they also own picks in the second, fourth, and fifth rounds, with two in the seventh.
Yeah, so they've got a ton of picks. And Gruden and Mayock sent the entire scouting staff home.
Yeah.
And they said that the reason they did it is because they couldn't trust them.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Colonel Kurtz.
So it's just the horror. You guys don't get that reference, do you?
No.
So it's just Gruden and Mayock in a room with all these draft picks?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
And crazy haircut Mike Davis is just fine with that. He's just, you know, yeah, whatever.
Well, and it's weird because they've made so many moves last year to pick up all these first-round picks with the Khalil Mack trade and the Amari Cooper trade. So they have three in the first round, and all their important people deciding these picks, they've just said, hey, y'all take it off.
Dude,
we got this.
The NFL draft has become such great TV in the Thursday night first round.
It damn well will be this year.
We're just going to see. I'm just picturing a huge conference table and just the two of them sitting there. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
Probably want to allow a camera.
They better have a camera.
Yeah, I think that would certainly increase ratings. People would tune in for that. All right, number two, Bear. This one is right up your alley. Former Cleveland Cavaliers coach Tyronn Lue is meeting with the Lakers general manager Rob Pelinka. I'm going to pause and make sure that's the right way to say it.
Yep.
Okay.
You nailed it.
I cannot believe
Vlade Divac,
that Jenny Buss is just going to completely capitulate and turn over control of the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the most storied franchises in all professional sports, to LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James getting his wish here. Tyronn Lue expected to be the next head coach.
Although
he did win a championship. They won a championship together.
They did.
Not until LeBron leaves. I'm done with him.
Are they going to remake that roster this offseason?
Well, you got to think that they're likely going to bring Anthony Davis in. They're going to – you got to hope that some of those guys between Kuzma, Ball, and Ingram
could
actually step up and are worth
something.
Could
Ball, LeBron, and Davis? I mean, you would think that would be a stout trio.
Yeah, but I just don't know how good LeBron – or Lonzo Ball is. I mean, he was the second pick in that draft.
I thought the word on the street was that LeBron didn't like him.
Well, I don't know how much LeBron James likes any of his teammates.
Big brain on Brandon over there. I thought you said the Celtics were going to get the monobrow Anthony Davis this summer. That's what you've been crowing about all back when I thought he was coming to the Lakers.
I mean, they could still trade for him.
Brandon's not a big fan of the Nature Boy, Rick Butler.
It's just I didn't get why you called him that. It's just odd timing.
Ric Flair, Rick Butler, Nature Boy.
So anybody named Rick with the RIC Nature Boy?
I mean, we played with
how many are
Ravishing
there?
Rick Butler, the Rickopotamus.
That was horrible. I like mine.
What's yours?
Reek.
I like the Nature Boy. It's pretty good.
I like it too.
Are we way behind right now? What are we on?
We're on three out of four.
Music bed's already run out.
Okay, so number three. A federal court judge ruled on Friday that Arizona coach Sean Miller and LSU coach Will Wade will not have to testify in next week's federal trial into college basketball corruption. Those two guys were subpoenaed, but prosecutors filed a motion earlier this month to exclude the two coaches from testifying on the grounds that it would be irrelevant.
Are they going to get off on this?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I think that Will Wade's in more danger of getting ran out of there by his new AD than he is the NCAA.
Now, could – at the trial for these dudes, the Adidas guys, and they go up there, like, they could still play – if they play the wiretaps in court, and these trials have been closed to the public. So, like, we'll just – I don't know if the NCAA can get the records or the transcripts and see exactly what Will Wade said.
Well, what'll happen is the reporter will. Through freedom of information.
We've already seen transcripts of him clearly talking about paying for Javonte Smart. And they're just going to sweep this under the rug, and he gets to coach there.
Yeah, and not only that, they hammered somebody yesterday. The NCAA did. Some no-name. I've got to look that up. I mean, it was just like on cue. It's on like Cal Poly State Technical Function Institute.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange to me that, you know, the Bruce Pearl era had to end for us. And, you know, my position on Bruce, I'm over it. But this seems like what Will Wade is clearly caught red-handed in public doing is so much worse than anything Bruce Pearl did here in Tennessee.
He's got the same attorney that Bruce Pearl does, who also represents Sean Miller. So one lawyer's – go ahead, Rick.
All right, Rick's got one more story. Wrap
okay,
us up
number,
here.
Okay, number four, the NCAA Division I Council was very busy, so I'm going to give you the two rulings that they came down with today, and then you can decide which one you want to talk about. So the first one, a proposal was given to them to require a graduate transfer to count against a team scholarship total for 2 years in football and basketball, but that has been rejected by the NCAA. And then also, the council announced Friday that it has relaxed transfer rules for incoming freshman athletes in certain situations, including those on teams that have made coaching changes. Now, incoming freshmen who enroll in the summer school and receive financial aid can transfer and play immediately without a waiver if their coach leaves prior to the first day of fall classes.
That just seems fair to me. I don't understand why that happened.
Yeah, no, that seems fine. The first one, the graduate transfers,
that's
for one year that? And that would count for – well, they rejected it, so it doesn't matter. But, like, what's the – I guess they just want to crack down on this?
Yeah, who is it that hates a grad transfer?
Is it Saban?
Saban's one of them. I know he's the one in football.
So it said, just kind of on the news report that I read, the Division I Council on Friday voted down a proposal that would have tapped the brakes on the de facto free agency created by a rule originally intended to give athletes more freedom to pursue graduate degrees.
This is a part of the NCAA arguments when they come off as just completely hypocritical.
Yeah.
Oh, we originally put this rule in place to afford our student athletes the widest latitude in finding a master's program. They
well,
to
I mean, you just
education.
Talk about a fundamentally broken institution.
Well, and you can just you can boil it down to there's so much talk about calling them student athletes when the NCAA looks at them itself as athletes who are also students.
Oh, and we've gotten to a point now, whether it's North Carolina or LSU or Arizona. And these schools, when they get caught breaking the rules, and they just thumb their nose at the NCAA and be like, "Yeah, you know, we don't care. We're just going to go on with what we're going on with." So, anyway, that's interesting. Thank you, Rick. Rick Butler with your top four at four. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the drive this afternoon. Talking about the most dominant athletes so far, the first 20% of the 21st century. Right now on Twitter, at Fox Sports Knox, Tiger Woods leading the way. He's got 39% of the vote. LeBron James has 26% of the vote. Usain Bolt with 25%, and then 10% going the other route. And writing in, Nate says John Cena.
15-time.
Several 15-time champion. Is that true? Is that a record?
No.
Rick Flair is the record at 16.
Rick, oh, so Cena, if he wins the belt back one more time.
That's you know,
he's not going to.
He absolutely will.
That's ridiculous. No. They just hand him the strap left and right to get him up near Flair. Flair, the man's had damn near a 50-year career.
Is Cena the greatest living wrestler ever? The most popular, well-known wrestler of the 21st century?
Yes, without question. He hosted the Ellen DeGeneres show today.
That's great. Michael Phelps getting a couple of votes. Michael Phelps getting a couple of votes from multiple people. Thomas says, I can't believe LeBron is on this list. I mean, he has to be on the list, right?
I mean, if you don't put him on the list, he doesn't have to be on the list.
That's a good point, Brandon. Cliff says, Joey Chestnut. Write in vote for Joey Chestnut. Caleb says, John Fulkerson. He is pretty dominant. I'll give him that.
I'm writing in Michael Phelps.
Several people have already written that in.
Okay.
B. Wall says, Cristiano Ronaldo. Him and Messi are probably in the conversation, although they don't get as much coverage here in the States, but they've been dominant athletes for sure.
What about Floyd Money Mayweather?
Oh, yep. Never lost.
Nope. 50-0.
Probably hasn't been challenged as much as the thing about like golf. You want to be the best golfer, you got to play, man. And you don't get to choose who you play against, where you play. This is the tournament. This is where it's going to be. You come here and play it. Same thing with tennis. Roger Federer, Serena Williams.
That's a good one.
I mean, Serena is dominant, man. I mean, who's the second best player of the 21st century in women's tennis?
Sharapova.
Maybe. I don't know.
I was going to say, what's the little girl's name?
Maybe her sister, Venus. Venus. I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about tennis.
I mean, she has been flat out dominant.
Simone Biles.
The U.S. Gymnast?
Gymnast. She dominated for an extended period of time.
How long?
I'm just throwing her out there. Several Olympics. She's grown up on the team. I don't know. I mean, she's got a pretty stout record. You forget about my love of the Olympics, and I mean, I think it's the ultimate stage, personally. It's everybody in the world. If you're the best at your sport in that, then what more is there, Russ?
Federer is pretty interesting because he's won more majors than any player in history. And he's still playing at a very high level, I think, in his late 30s, which usually, like, you think about the great tennis players of our generation growing up. It's like, man, it's like once you turn 30, it's downhill pretty fast. And he's been winning major championships for, like, the last 5 years. He's tailed off a little bit, but still very competitive. He's just... You know, he's like the anti-Tiger. You know, Tiger's so flashy, so noticeable and everything. Federer is just.
What about in hockey? There's
Sid the Kid.
Ovechkin.
Sid the Kid. Did you see Ovechkin knock that kid out?
Yeah. I'm not. I don't know if. I mean, Crosby's probably been the more dominant player, right? But he's not. He's nowhere close to what Gretzky was doing when we were growing up.
No. I mean, Gretzky's up there in a, like, I mean, you say his name when you're mentioning names like Ali, Woods, Gretzky, Peyton.
865-546-8200. Does Peyton deserve to be in this conversation? Most of his work was done at the professional level in the 21st century.
I would say, yeah.
Two titles, four Super Bowls?
How many MVPs?
Two championships. Say maybe four MVPs, I want to say.
Owns half the record book as far as quarterbacks.
Yeah, still most yardage passer, I believe. In the conversation. We're certainly biased, no doubt about it. But
Didn't he play for 20 years, basically? No. 18 or 19.
98 2016, I believe, was the Super Bowl they won.
18 years.
Yeah. Stay with us. The Drive rages on. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, would love to hear from you. Take a shot now. 546-8200. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Can you believe
you, Rick Butler in the house, taking your phone calls. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. You want to jump in here, go ahead and take a shot now. A couple lines available. Coming up here in hour number three, we'll get in the throne zone.
Can't wait.
Is that the most – that's the biggest thing this weekend, right, is episode two?
Avengers. Well, I mean, that Easter and weekend. Easter.
Yeah.
Well, oh, God.
That and the whole, you know, resurrection thing. Yeah, that was probably a pretty big thing, too.
The Avengers opens is out?
Thursday.
Yeah.
This but, Thursday.
Yesterday?
Like yesterday?
Oh, next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Days. All right. But that's not this weekend.
That's next weekend.
I'm just really excited.
Rick's a little bit excited about the movie. Do you watch any of the comic book movies?
No, but I've got like a treasure trove of movie cards now. Thank you, Russ. It was an excellent present. And now I know why he's been asking to go to the movies. But no, when we go to the Avenger movies,
are you into those? Like, do you follow?
No. I'll either listen to a podcast or I'll take a nap. I'll just go to sleep. I don't ever get to sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
So you pay $10 to go in there in the theater and just sleep?
Well, because my kid wants to go see the movie.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
It's like being at home.
They're good movies.
TV and I fall asleep.
They're good movies.
I used to love the superhero movies, and then at some point, I think it was like it was like the third Iron Man movie or something like that, or is that Captain America movie that everybody said was so great? I went to watch it, and I'm like, you know what? I've seen all these before. Like,
the first Captain America, I loved.
It's just over and over and over again, and I was just like, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Well, I'm with you. Like the second and third Iron Man movies, I could do without. They don't really add that much.
Where do y'all stand on X-Men movies, though?
They're pretty good.
You got to be looking forward to
I love those movies.
I'm really interested in seeing Dark Phoenix. Looks really good.
That's Sansa.
Yeah, I know.
Please. What's her name?
Jean Grey.
I can't do it anymore. I can't do it.
Have you seen Sansa in it?
No, I'm not. You know, I think I'm not a huge Sansa fan.
Whoa.
You don't like Sansa?
Not a huge Sansa fan.
Sansa.
Hello, Sansa.
Why?
She's obnoxious, man.
She used to be, but now she's a badass.
She's even more obnoxious.
No.
Yes.
Better watch her step around the queen.
Well, no, last week when, and this should really be reserved for the throne zone, but when Arya's like, oh, she's the most intelligent person I know. It's like, no, she's not. She's not even top 10 most intelligent people on Game of Thrones. She's kind of a dummy when you get down to it.
I mean, Russ, I don't want to be the wanted to burst your bubble here, but if it weren't for Sansa, Jon Snow would have lost the Battle of the Bastards.
If Sansa had just gone ahead and gotten those Knights of the Vale or whoever to run in the first place, maybe the giant wouldn't have died.
Yeah,
maybe Rickon would still be alive.
You know,
stupid
maybe,
Sansa.
You know, maybe if Jon would have listened to Sansa and waited. They would have got
it's
there in time.
It's definitely. We need to reserve this for the throne.
All right, all right. 865-546-8200.
Although I did see the High Sparrow in another movie a couple of days ago.
He's been in a lot of things, man.
He played, he was a Bond villain in Tomorrow Never Dies. Carver.
Yep. Yes, he was.
Jonathan Pryce.
How about that?
Yeah. The big brain on Bear. For hating on that cola, you seem to have really sucked it down. Look at that, Russ. He's pounded that RC.
Well, I mean, I've been drinking on it since before 3. It's now 4:21. It's not finished yet.
You should have gone with
it. It'd been better than this.
Debo asking, enough with the RC cola. We get it. It's crap. Bear likes it. Everybody else hates it. Okay.
It's tasty.
We've got it.
What's Debo saying?
When will we know if Solomon and Gibbs are eligible?
I don't know, because everybody else in America is being granted left. You want to play? Okay, you can play this year. Yeah, absolutely. Aubrey Solomon, I don't know. We'll take it under advisement.
And Gibbs.
I think you could. I think both of them should be just automatics. I mean, Gibbs, because he's coming out of the whole racial thing that went down at Georgia.
You love perpetuating that narrative, don't you? Athens, Georgia is a racist city. You don't want to go live there.
What is their fight song?
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
They play Dixie?
Georgia?
Well, Georgia plays Dixie.
No, that's Ole Miss.
That's Ole Miss.
And they don't play anymore.
Which I've always thought is weird. Like why do they play the Battle Hymn of the Republic in a Confederate stronghold?
I guess because General Sherman put it to them. He burned the city down, literally.
Yeah.
I don't know why, if you're any elite athlete, why you'd want to go to the University of Georgia.
Nate says, seriously, at Russell Smith, Pred stars game 5 in Nashville Saturday afternoon, and you think GOT is the best thing on TV this weekend? WTF.
Sorry, dude. Did you see Pekka the other night? He got pulled.
I'll watch. I think the Preds bounce back and take game 5, though.
Is that at Bridgestone, correct?
Yeah, but it looks like this one's going 7. Preds in 7. They'll eke it out. They always do, right? Preds aren't losing the first round.
Not to the Dallas freaking Stars.
No.
They suck.
How many – can you name any Stars players?
No.
Can you name any Preds players?
Pekka Rinne, P.K. Subban.
Okay.
Okay.
Who's Preds coach?
Oh, it used to be Barry Trotz.
It used to be Barry Trotz.
I cannot remember the guy's name.
He quit, right? Last year was his last year. Didn't he hang it up?
Who's their new coach?
I can see his face.
Yeah, I can see his face, too.
I can't think of his name.
Is it Pete?
I don't think. Hold on.
Something like Lavalier or something?
Yeah.
Is it a French name or something?
Yeah, Peter. Peter Laviolette.
Laviolette.
There you go. He's still there?
I think so.
Garner asks, where do you guys stand on the Police Academy movies?
First few were fantastic.
Yeah, celebrate them.
If you get into like 5 sequels, I'm probably not watching those last.
Yeah,
few.
nobody's seen those. But like the first excellent. 2 or 3, you got Bobcat Goldthwait, Bubba Smith. Tackleberry. Oh, I love Tackleberry. Trigger happy guy, the short black lady with the high pitched voice. And then when she would like scream at you.
Yeah. Those are great, man.
Commandant Lassard. Got to love Commandant Lassard. And then Harris, of course. Harris and his dimwit sidekick. Mahoney always stirring up trouble. Yeah. Oh, man. Love the Police Academy movies.
Steve Guttenberg.
You guys ever seen the Police Academy movies?
No.
That's something, yeah.
Bubba Smith. So
good stuff, man. Huge fan of the Police Academy movies. Nate says, and this is a lot of Nate's texting in. This is a different one. Peyton can't be in the conversation because he has the exact same number of rings as Eli. Also, he had no impact on the last Super Bowl he won. That was all Denver's defense.
Which Nate is this?
Nate Lucky, at Nate Lucky 13.
See what this Dellard. Did you come in here and acting like Peyton's not?
No, I mean,
that ever played the game.
I've always thought.
Ball.
Five MVPs
yeah.
for Peyton is the most
yeah.
ever?
Yeah.
Eli played on great defensive teams.
I would say, and he's right. I mean, they almost won in spite of Peyton, that last one.
They wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for Peyton. They wouldn't have made the – when he came in and replaced – what's his name?
Osweiler.
Yeah, the stiff. That whole damn team wanted Peyton on the field. The GOAT.
Yeah, I think that if it's one of those things where if Peyton had never won a Super Bowl, that would have been a major albatross around his neck. But he got the one in 2006, got that monkey off his back, and then to win another one and go out with – he had 2 rings. I mean, that kind of – played in 4 of them. Really, if they hadn't choked away the one against New Orleans, because like Seattle was just clearly better than them. I mean, that was a dominant Seahawks team that beat them, and the one in New York.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, if you put that thing out at in Phoenix, Arizona, in warm weather, nice desert evening. No, that was that game where they played at New York.
Yeah. I don't think it changes anything, dude. I don't think it changes anything.
I think it would.
You think the Broncos would have beat the Seahawks if they played that game in warm weather?
Yeah.
Dude, they couldn't block them. And Peyton just got his bell rung time after time.
Whatever, dude.
That's some impressive Peyton Love. I thought I'm pretty sheepy because I do think that if they are aware on the second half kickoff, don't give up that onside kick to New Orleans. I think they win the 09 was it 09 Super Bowl against the Saints, and then he's 3 of 4, which is a pretty dominant record. I truly believe that. But if you think that they're beating that Seahawks team,
they would have
in like a new warm weather or in a dome or something. That's pretty sheepy, Bear. What was the final score, Brandon? It was like 44-7 or something.
It was not close.
It was cold as hell that night. Peyton, you know, you go have a couple of neck surgeries, have the damn Tennessee Oilers illegally hit you for years and drive you into the ground like a tent peg head first. And then, you know, get out there in that 38-degree weather in New York City in January and try and roll out there.
43-8.
Oh! Oh! 43-8. Newsflash, the Seahawks just scored again.
Didn't score in the first half.
I'm starting to question your loyalties.
Peyton just got hit again.
You make me sick, Russ.
Richard Sherman just picked him off.
Richard Sherman. I do like Richard Sherman. High motor.
It's kind of weird playing devil's advocate against the Peyton thing. I don't like it. Can I come back now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm back.
Just agree with me.
We would have. Listen to that. We would have smoked him. We would have smoked him.
Yeah.
If we had just played in a dome. That game is played in.
They were going to beat the Legion of Boom.
If that game is played outside in Arizona, like a nice 70-degree evening.
Is it? Somebody tell me, did O'Brien Schofield, Admiral's older brother, was he one of the founding members of the Legion?
I think O'Brien was a linebacker, but I believe he was on that team. That was who was the Legion of Boom? It's
Richard Sherman, Cam
Chancellor, Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas. Who was the other corner on the other side from Sherman?
Didn't he go play for the Panthers, I want to say?
Okay.
You're thinking of Josh Norman, I think.
No, he's from the Redskins, the Panthers, yeah.
Who was it that played – he got in a lot of trouble at UT, and it was on video.
Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Brandon Browner.
Brandon Browner was the fourth one.
Yeah.
You're talking about Tony McDaniel played for the – he was on that Seahawks team big-time D-line recruit that Fulmer had signed. Was 6'7", 300-pounder. I think they stashed him on the line, and he had to wait his turn. And, like, the summer before he was finally going to be a starter, I think as, like, a junior or something, got caught on film at the Hyper building in a pickup basketball game. Somebody was, like, fouling him a little bit too hard, and he turns around. This is a 6'7", 300-pound
kid.
SEC defensive lineman turns around on a guy like Rick's size and just he thought he killed him, man. He hit him in the side and ended up like shattering his jaw in a million places. And
yeah, it was him. And who was the other one that we had to get rid of? Lynn Magruder.
Well, Lynn Magruder was he thought he was Pablo Escobar up there in Gibbs Hall slinging mad dope out of there,
slinging pounds of green.
I'm not a grass expert.
He's a weed fairy on campus.
I mean, if we get into the guys that we had to kick off the team back in the day conversation, we're going to be here all day. Because you fill out a pretty darn good roster
of
guys like that. Stay with us. The drive continues. Coming up, we'll find out who's on the docket presented by Disability Advantage Group, dag-us.com. On a beautiful Friday. I say beautiful. I look outside. It's raining. How about that? Stay with us. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865 865- 866-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DAG today at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
Arizona coach Sean Miller will not have to testify in the upcoming federal trial related to corruption in college basketball, a judge ruled today. U.S. District Court Judge Edgardo Ramos sided with the prosecution's motion that argued Miller and LSU's Will Wade were irrelevant to the upcoming bribery trial. Would-be agent Christian Dawkins and Adidas rep Merle Cote are facing four federal bribery and conspiracy charges. Federal prosecutors say the two men paid assistant coaches, including Arizona's Book Richardson. The assistants then promised to steer their players to Dawkins and Code for professional representation. Jury selection begins Monday. Trial's expected to last 2 weeks. Miller and Wade will not testify, but Code's attorney Andrew Mathias said there are, quote, some assistant coaches on the witness list. He said other head coaches may testify as well, so might see some other guys get drug into this thing. But Sean Miller and Will Wade, for now, would appear to have dodged the bullet.
For now.
That's
key.
A Northern Indiana man who sought wages for lunch breaks he didn't take has won his claim, although the judge has awarded him a mere $35. Joe Lehman said he is seeking $3,543 that he claims Thor Industries Postal Aluminum Division owed him for lunch breaks he did not take while working as a truck driver for about a year and a half. The Elkhart Truth reports that an Elkhart County magistrate ruled in Lehman's favor but granted him a judgment of only $35 plus $125 in court costs. Magistrate expressed frustration that both sides didn't present more evidence. Lehman submitted just 5 daily driving logs to support his claim. Based on those, the court calculated that the Elkhart man was owed $7 for each half-hour break period he'd worked through during those 5 days.
You know that company just cut him a check quick.
What's his claim? That he just doesn't eat? Or that he eats while he's driving?
I have no idea. Or maybe that they, you know, their demands on the company on getting everything done time-wise that he couldn't eat lunch.
They dock you half an hour for... Half an hour is a pretty long lunch.
Really?
For how long did it take you to eat lunch? I'm pretty fast, man. I eat like 10 minutes or less. And you see me eat. It's not a pretty thing. It's fast.
Yeah, but then you get your lounge time. I like a good hour, man. Give me an hour.
An hour for lunch?
Yeah.
An hour?
Yeah.
An hour is a bit much. I wish like 45 minutes would be the perfect amount.
45 minutes?
Yeah.
What are you doing for 45 minutes?
Well,
a nap.
That way you don't have to just completely devour your food, and then after it's done, you have a little bit of time just to...
You gotta travel to and from wherever you're eating lunch.
Right, that's a good point.
Wait, you go out to lunch every day?
A lot of times.
I feel like an hour is it's way excessive.
I've worked at numerous places where you get an hour for lunch, hour break.
So these are like where you got to clock out and then you come back in.
You work another 4.
So you get an hour off for lunch. Wow. Been eating lunch at home a lot. That's
it. You had a form you'd fill out if you like something happened and you couldn't take your lunch. You filled a form and it accrued. It was a state job.
So that you could come back and have like a 2-hour lunch one day if you wanted? Or
no, I had like a massive amount of accrued, like it's called compensatory time. and you've got like with the comp time is what we call it, your vacation days and then your sick days. When you leave an employment with somebody, they don't have to all they aren't required to pay you for your sick days, but they have to pay you out for like your annual days and your comp time. Wow. Yeah, when I left that job, I got paid for 6 months.
What?
Yeah. Awesome.
Seems a little ridiculous. You ever think about it from the employer's standpoint, Bear?
I didn't take a day off, and they had me working overtime all the time. But they didn't pay overtime. They gave me comp time.
Pay me for the time that I should have been just not doing anything, but I wasn't. An hour lunch. Hey, you got to eat for what? 50, even if you're a slow eater, 15, 20 minutes?
How we'd usually do it is we'd drive 10 minutes from where we worked, me and my buddy, eat, take about 20 minutes, 10 minutes back. Before you have 20 minutes to just completely screw off before you had to be back on the...
What happened to the American work ethic around here? Get yourself a bite to eat and get back to work. Nose to the grindstone.
This ain't Japan, Russ.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, we dropped the big stereo on him about 75 years
ago. Oh! What does that have to do with anything?
I believe in brakes.
Talk about you believe in brakes. That's why we dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima.
Nuclear?
I didn't say nuclear. I did not say that.
Nuclear.
Is Japan even notorious for...
Oh, yeah. Those people work themselves to death over there.
I thought it was China.
No. They're forced to do it in China. Japan, willingly. Hmm. But now they're in all those like sex robots and all that
strong,
weird stuff.
Good, strong work ethics over there. Yep.
Their population's declining.
They work hard, and they don't play hard either. They just work hard.
Yeah.
DAG-US.com, Disability Advantage Group. You can check them out on Twitter at DAG Disability, on Instagram at DAG Disability, and Facebook.com/Disability Advantage Group. If you need help getting signed up for Social Security insurance, disability, you check them out. They will help you do it. They've got years of experience helping clients all across America obtain the compensation they deserve at Disability Advantage Group.
It's really coming down outside.
You hear that? Pouring outside.
I hope I rolled my windows up.
You did. I checked on you.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. We do. We got some breaking news.
Let's head to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk this afternoon.
According to John Rothstein, Michigan State's Cassius Winston is returning to the Spartans next season.
Wow. Will this be his senior year?
I believe so. He was in the running for the Naismith Award with Grant and Zion.
Is he just not getting good draft feedback?
He's
a little
sure.
guy.
Yeah.
I think Bone is probably quicker than him, but Winston's smooth, man. He had all kinds of game. He's a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
Well, must be nice.
Wouldn't it be nice if we have a breaking news? Grant Williams will return for his senior season.
Oh, man, that would be so great.
Would that be as big as Peyton coming back? For his senior year?
No, but it would be the biggest basketball return that we've ever had by far.
Where do you put Grant across sports? Is he, you put him up there?
As like the best.
Revered? Is he as revered as Peyton was?
No, but if he came back, I mean, he would be the most revered Tennessee basketball player since Bernard King and one of the most beloved athletes. Like, I think if you talk, he'd be like in the top 10 Vols of the modern era, probably, I'd say. If he comes back. If he doesn't, if this is it, if he's played his last game.
He's still going to be way up there.
Yeah. You know, he's still beloved. But, yeah, if he comes back for his senior year and spurns a chance to play in the NBA for, you know, just one more year of college and chasing a championship and playing with Josiah James and the other guys we got coming back, then – yeah, I think that would just be another – and it depends on how far they go. You know, if he takes us to a Final Four next year, then, yeah, he's probably the most beloved basketball Vol of all time.
What if they cut down the nets?
He's the most beloved basketball Vol of all time. But if they flame out again, you know, don't get past the Sweet 16 or so, then I don't know how much it helps him. But he could be the first, you know, three-time player of the year. That would be pretty cool. And
put him in a elite company.
Sure would. Let's get Westchester in here. Westchester, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Sup?
Hey, Russ, I know I love talking movies with you, but you ever seen a movie called Gung Ho?
Gung Ho. Who's in it?
Sounds familiar.
Douglas is in it, but the reason I'm asking is I don't think you have, because if you had seen that movie, you would never question the Japanese work ethic. It's where this American automobile factory starts to try to compete with the Japanese that own them.
I know exactly the movie you're talking about. It's in the 80s.
Directed by Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Starring Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton. I'm sorry. That's not Michael Keaton. We're going to skip some parts, like engines. Yeah. If you've never seen that, you would never question the Japanese workout. Those guys are nuts.
Gung Ho has received mixed to negative reviews and has a 33% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's because the people that rate on Rotten Tomatoes are just, you know, millennials and your interns and stuff like that. They're not, you know, people that have been around in the world and have seen some stuff. They're not educated folks like you and I, Russ, and Bear.
Partially.
Whoa.
And maybe cowbell a little bit. Hey, moving on, the goat athlete thing. I heard y'all talking about Peyton a little bit, and I hate to say this because I'm not a fan, but don't we at least have to mention Brady?
No, we really don't.
We led this off with Brandon mentioning it, and then we shut it down.
Yeah, we shut it down, which is what we're doing to you now, Westchester.
Well, why are you shutting it down?
Because this is Knoxville, and it's our show, and it's our conversation, and we're shutting it down.
Okay, so we're just going to forget about that, and that didn't happen. We're a cigarette hasn't sand.
It didn't happen. It's just we choose not to acknowledge.
Hey, you used to talk about Grant Williams coming back and how that would be such a huge thing, and absolutely it would be. Who's the first guy you think of? I don't even have an answer, so I'm curious to hear what y'all say. Who's the first name you think of as the greatest recent return for their basketball senior year on the men's side? We have anybody?
Schofield.
Have we had anybody that really tested the waters besides Schofield? I'm sure it's happened. Somebody.
Jordan McRae?
Yeah, maybe.
He didn't really do anything. No. He did, but.
Yeah, I had to put my thinking cap on for that one, Westchester. I mean, I know that we've had other guys in football, too, that came back. It seems like Kelly Washington was only here for 1 year, right? Was it Stallworth, maybe, who thought about coming out early and then came back? I think he went early, too. I don't know. I'd have to really think about that one.
I assume that none of y'all, and I didn't either. Did anybody there watch the Tennessee-Kentucky game online last night?
No.
If somebody who's listening could call in and tell us how the what happened to participate or precipitate the benches clearing at the end of the game. It wasn't really a fight. It was just a stare down and a disagreement. And they all came out to talk about it.
Oh.
It wasn't. And I'm kind of curious what happened.
If those toothless, slack-jawed yokels from Kentucky want some, I'll take my chances with Tony Vitello and his boys. Those meat sticks can come over here and
get
some.
You
want
to fight meat stick?
but seriously, I'd love to know what happened because I know that was the first game in the series, right? So you got two more coming?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ball's up 1-0. Took the first game. See if we can lock up the series win tonight.
Back when I was in school, we used to call it the Elo six-pack when we'd intentionally hit somebody, but that was way, way back in the day. But maybe we'll get a little Hilo six-pack to start the game today to get the tempers running again. But seriously, if anyone knows what happened with that, I'd love to hear about it.
Thanks, Westchester. Do you remember going over there in the 90s when Helton and those guys were playing and Lindsey Nelson was like the guys that would sit in the front row over the visitors' dugout and just talk mad trash?
Yeah.
You talk about some of the most brutal heckling.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those guys were classic. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Founded in...
Portions of the show today brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Official bank of the Drive. You check them out online at cndtn.com. And if you've got some weekend banking that needs to get done, don't forget they've got branches open in area grocery stores tomorrow till 2 p.m. They are open most holidays, so follow them on Twitter at CNBTN for more information or just call 865-453-9031. Citizens National Bank, where banking never felt so good. Your Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question this afternoon. Who has been the most dominant athlete of the 21st century thus far? 37% of the audience going with Tiger. 27% say LeBron James. 26% Usain Bolt. And then we got 10% going with write-ins.
I was glad to see that. I didn't think Usain Bolt would win it, although I do feel a measure of satisfaction seeing he's pretty solid, 26%. Or even entertaining,
man, like,
the idea.
Because there's something just about – when you talk about the most valuable or most impressive athletic skills, being the fastest man in the world, that's right up there, man. To me, that's even better than, like, best basketball player, best quarterback, best hitter in baseball. Like, fastest guy in the world. I mean, that's just like...
It looks like you said outside during one of the breaks, it was in almost all of his heat races at the Olympics, and even some of the ones where he won the gold medal. He shut it down ten yards to go, looking back.
Was it the 08 Olympics?
Beijing?
He was on pace to just shatter the world record.
It would have never been broken.
But he just kind of, like, led up and, like, kind of looked back over his shoulder and cruised across the finish line. And you're thinking, like, did his cockiness just deprive us of seeing the fastest 100-meter dash of all time?
Ever be run, yeah. I don't know.
He just doesn't care because he can just rip them off like that.
He's just that fast.
He was dominant. Like, Michael Phelps was dominant, but I don't know. I didn't watch enough swimming. He probably did have
races
where
Michael,
he won
Michael
by a
Michael Phelps
lot.
Was, yeah, I mean, he was, I mean,
untouchable.
Nobody beat, yeah, especially in the Olympics.
John Hodge wrote in for Phelps. He said, most medals ever by 10, 28 total, 23 gold.
I mean, he's our generation's Mark Spitz. Or your generation, or Rick and Brandon's, maybe.
Sure.
I remember Mark Spitz a little bit. He could flat out motor.
Brady is getting some votes on this Twitter thread.
I don't care. Ban whoever it is. Block
Should
them.
We block him?
Yeah.
Go through and block everybody who mentioned Brady?
Damn Skippy.
Lonzo Vall says, it's pretty good. Jimmy Johnson, 7 NASCAR championships. And 83 wins so far, plus he went and ran the Boston Marathon?
Yeah.
Really?
Had a really good time. A lot of those guys are health freaks.
I mean.
Like fitness nuts now.
I think that would pay off. Come a long days from the days of
part of the reason for the decline of the sport.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. That's actually a good point. We'll pick up on that. Top 5 coming up. Hour number 5 of The Drive next here on Fan Run Radio.